Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21 and the last verse in that chapter, verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Last week we mentioned heaven open, the ladder in Jacob's dream in Genesis. We saw the Lord above the ladder. And our Saviour actually used the words heaven open when speaking of the ladder to Nathanael in John chapter 1. But this week, we're not going to look at so much what at first. Heaven open, but heaven closed, as we see in these words in Revelation 21. And that's a truth, as much a truth as heaven open, heaven closed. Indeed, you can't really understand the wonder of heaven open if you don't understand the truth of heaven closed. And in this verse, we see the two side by side, actually. Heaven closed and heaven open. So let's look at those two things. So important to understand the first position, heaven closed. Then we shall thank God for the second truth of heaven open. Well, first of all, let's look at heaven closed. And you see it in these words. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Now, I'm sure many people would look at those words and they would think those words mean heaven is closed to some people, to the worst of people, closed to those who defile heaven or who would defile heaven, closed to those who do works of abomination, and closed to those who are liars and who lie. I guess there are some people who are very obviously defiled and defile the world, you could say, and certainly would defile heaven. And I guess also there are some people who are very obviously abominable. And also, I guess, some people who just lie. They have no relationship to the truth sometimes, a very loose relationship to the truth. And there's no honor in them at all. Can't trust a word they say. And so you might think, heaven is closed to the worst of people, the worst of sinners. And you might think of the travel ban. You know, at the moment we have, with the pandemic, a travel ban, where perhaps a country might just list some other countries as examples of the worst rate of infection, and would ban travel from those countries into their country. And you might think in that way, that heaven has banned certain people. Those people are the worst cases of infection, we shall say, and they are not allowed into heaven. But you know, it's more like a total travel ban. Heaven is closed to all of mankind. That is a starting position and is definitely closed. Look at the words here. And there shall in no wise enter into it. That is great emphasis. It means on no account whatsoever will these people be allowed to enter into heaven. But how so, you might ask? Well, to see so, you must understand the nature of heaven, the nature of man, and the nature of God as well, and the nature of this world. All those things you must understand. See the nature of the world and the nature of man, first of all. Let's be clear about it. We are defiled. Defiled means unclean or dirty. That we are dirty. We are defiled. We are defiled in and of ourselves, in our hearts, and everything we touch becomes unclean. We can't touch anything without defiling it. We have dirty fingerprints. Our hearts are dirty. You could say our fingers are dirty, if I can speak in that illustrative way. And so everything we touch becomes dirty and with our fingerprints. But see here, you see, heaven is undefiled. And here's the issue. In 1 Peter 1, verse 4, we have these words, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled. And heaven is clean, and God is clean, and perfectly so. And for that reason alone, heaven is closed. Can you imagine men who are defiled entering heaven and defiling heaven? No, in no way whatsoever, on no account whatsoever can that be. Man in his sin cannot enter heaven. Heaven is undefiled and man is defiled. Then also, let's be clear about it. We are abominable. Well, certainly the Lord looks upon us as abominable. We are anathema to God, or just abominable. Abominable. What does it mean here? Well, it's linked with idolatry, the worship of other gods and idols. That's what the word abominable means, or the background of the word abominable means. And so we are indeed guilty of that because we do not worship God as a people. A mankind does not worship the Lord. He worships other gods and idols, which is the world. In the old days, of course, there were bits of wood and carvings and so on, and that still is true to some extent. But widespread, of course, is the worship of the world. The world is the idol. Men serve the world. They give their lives to the world, to fame, to pleasure, enjoyment of this world. But you see, here's the problem. There's only one God in heaven, the true and living God. Can you imagine man in heaven worshipping other gods? Heaven is closed to idolatry, to men who will not worship God and worship other gods. There's no way that these idolaters and those who do not worship God and worship other gods can come into heaven. And idolatry is linked with immorality. And for sure, this world is an immoral world. In a way, we're seeing at the moment in the Western world, certainly, an explosion of immorality. Our hearts are immoral as well. My friend, that God is moral, you could say, the ways of the Lord are good and pure and precious, and God is righteous, and there's no way whatsoever that immoral men can come into a moral heaven in the presence of a moral God and a righteous God. And men who do unclean things and defilement and abominable and are also immoral and worship other gods, that these men cannot enter heaven. And these men are us. It's all of mankind. And then let's go on with the matter of lying. Let's be clear about it. We are liars. We are very clever with our words, very adept with our words. We're very flexible with our words. We're economical with the truth, you could say. And in so many ways, we are liars. But the Bible says that God is truth. Christ said, I am the truth. And there lies the problem. Can you imagine the trickery of men, the lying of men in heaven, in the presence of a God who is truth? It cannot be. It cannot be. And this world as it is, think of this world, in its abomination, defilement, and also in its lying. Can this world fit into heaven? No, it cannot. This is a wicked world and a sinful world. And we are wicked and sinful people, and we cannot enter into a pure heaven and a heaven of truth. Understand, therefore, in heaven, the nature of heaven, there is no sin there whatsoever. Only purity and loveliness and truth in this heaven. And God. And that's the point. God is there in all his perfection. and he cannot behold sin. There's no way we can come into his presence. We are banned. It's a total travel ban, you could say. Heaven is closed to mankind, definitely closed. On no account whatsoever can we enter into heaven. And we must understand that. As things stand, we must understand that the heaven is closed to us. The signs are there. The devil was cast out. Adam and Eve were cast out from the Garden of Eden. And so it is with all sinners. Not so much we are cast out, we shall not enter into his presence as we are. But you know, you look at this verse, and there's something else there. But they. Just look at those words. They shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they. That word but is lovely in the Bible. So often a very hopeful word. But. Sometimes we use the word but in the opposite way. We sing nice things, but. And then comes the complaint in the Bible. It is the opposite. We have the news of heaven closed. But. And so we also have the word they. They. Who are they here to whom heaven will be open? Well, let's look at this matter this morning of heaven open. And without reading on to the end of the verse, because the answer is there, of course, just stop at that but they. And what would you think? Who are these people who are allowed to enter into heaven? And you might say, well, obviously, they are people undefiled. Because if the defiled, if sinners are not allowed in, they must be sinless people. It's a logical conclusion. We are told here, the defiled cannot enter. They must be undefiled. They must be clean. Well, my friend, where are they? Have you found any such people who are perfect and undefiled, who have never sinned? Oh, come back to this matter we said before. All mankind are defiled, abominable liars, and we meant all of mankind. And the best of this world are defiled, abominable, and liars. And not only the best, the very best, the cream of this world, shall we say, are also defiled, abominable, and liars. There's not one single man or one single woman or one single boy or one single girl who is not defiled. We're all defiled. We're all sinners. Now, perhaps some might struggle to accept that. And that is because you don't understand the nature of the human heart. May God show you. But let's go on with the verse. Who then are these they? Who are they to whom heaven is open? And so we read these words. Look at the words, my friend. These are the words of life and the hope for your soul. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. What's the meaning of those words? They which are written in this book. And this book is called the Lamb's book of life. Those names in that book will enter heaven. What is this book? What is the Lamb's book of life? Who is this Lamb? And how can I have my name in that book? Well, John the Baptist told us, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he told us who this Lamb of God was, because walking towards him and also walking past him on another occasion was Christ. No doubt he pointed as well. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God is Jesus Christ. We are told in the scriptures, he is the Lamb and the Lamb of God. Why is he a lamb? Well, of course, we know in the Old Testament, the lambs were sacrificed. When was Christ sacrificed? On the cross of Calvary. There He was a sacrifice. Why was he sacrificed? Well, John the Baptist told us, which taketh away the sin of the world. A sacrifice is in our place. He died in our place. He suffered for our sins in our place. He took away our sins in so many words. He took away the wrath, the displeasure of God against our sin. He took it away. What a powerful sacrifice for all of God's people. All of their sin was taken away. Who is this person? He's a Son of God. No other could do this. The Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He took away the sin of the world, the sin of his people, and the wrath of God, the mighty wrath of God, the anger of God against our defilement, against our abomination, against our lying. Christ took it all upon the cross and took it away, took away the sins, took away our abominable condition, took away our lying condition, and took away our defilement. And so we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. All this is washed away from the sight of God. And we are right with God. We are undefiled. These are the undefiled. You are right in a way. It was the undefiled, the sinless, in a way, that enter heaven. But those who are sinless in the sight of God and undefiled in the sight of God are those washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those of you who were with us at the formation of the church will remember our first summer conference, which was held in Pembrokeshire in an activity centre in Sealyham. And this activity centre was for young people. It was out in the wilds, in the woods, in the mud. And of course, many activities, they'd be clotted with mud. And they'd come back from the activities and covered in mud. Could they enter the activity centre? Well, not so fast. There was a wash house, a washroom. And there they would go in and they would wash. They would shower and wash and change their clothes before entering the house. And so it is. Calvary, the cross of Calvary, is the wash house, you could say. Before we can enter heaven, we must be washed from our sin and dressed in righteousness. There we are. Imagine us in the mud of the field. Can we enter heaven? No, into the wash house first. And there you are cleansed in Jesus Christ and dressed in his righteousness. And you are clean. What a lovely thing it is to be clean. And heaven is open for those who are clean. Well, here's another question. How can my name be written in this book? How can I be clean to enter heaven? Well, the thought there, written in the Lamb's book of life, who wrote it? We are so thankful that God wrote it. The eternal hand of God before the foundation of the world. Oh, what a mark in this book. It can't be rubbed out. He wrote the names in this book. That eternal hand of God. It is God's handwriting, you could even say. God's handwriting. And there we see his handwriting in this book, the Lamb's book of life. But how can I enter? Those things are not for you to decide. Well, it comes down to this. Will you confess your sins? Will you come to God as you are? Well, that's a thing, isn't it? Because we try to clean ourselves. And there we are. We are covered in mud and we try to clean ourselves. And of course, we just smudge and it's all still a mess. No, rather, this must be the case. You must come to God as you are and you look to Christ because he can wash you and cleanse you. And only he can do it. And he will remove all your sin through his sufferings on the cross of Calvary. And he will give you his righteousness.
Those two things take place when you believe in Jesus Christ. That he takes your sin is put on him, and his righteousness is put on you. And so, with those two wonderful acts, you are clean, you are washed and dressed for heaven, and can enter into heaven, and heaven is open for you in Jesus Christ. The names in the book are those who have trusted in the Lamb. That's who they are. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? If you have, your name is in this book. These names are those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, who depended upon him as the Lamb of God, as the sacrifice who takes away sin. You've come in your sin, you see the Savior of sinners, you trust him, he takes away your sins. In so many words. Now imagine these books. I know it is one book here, but imagine many books. Imagine a large library or a very great bookshop, the largest library ever. And here you find some other books, the books of death, and also you find the Lamb's Book of Life. And imagine many aisles, you know, these massive bookshops or libraries. And you come to this very large section of the books of death. And you walk past the 16th century, the 17th century, the 18th century. And then you come to our century. And then you see another section, the books of life. I'm sure you've had the same experience as me. If you've been looking for Christian books, you go to these libraries and you see these sections which are very unworthy, immoral, even darkness, books about the occult and so on. You feel very uncomfortable walking past those books, and then you see Christian books. How glad you are to come to them. Ah, well, let's say we come across the books of life. And there you open the book, and you turn the pages, my friend. And there, how glad you are to see your name. Just think of that. Your very name is there. Now we are told in the Old Testament that Isaiah named Cyrus, the king of Persia, many years before he was born, as a prophecy. Well, your name is in this book many years before you were born. And there is your name. But think of this also. You know, when you book a place in a restaurant or in some important event, and you come to the reception, and there you say, I booked a place, and the person at the reception then says, okay, let me check, and they go through the pages, and they're a long time, and they're going back and forth, and maybe you think, well, maybe they haven't got my name, and I'm sure I booked, and so on, and then they say, ah, yes, there it is, this way. And so it will be for all those whose name is in the book of life. God will say to you, this way, this way. Those who are trusted in my son, who leant upon him, who believed in him, the heaven is open. It is open. Without that, it cannot be open. The key to heaven is Christ. And trust in Christ and belief in Christ. And as you enter, well, what a place. Purity, loveliness, and truth. It's also a place of life evermore. And the life of God, because it is the book of life. Oh, the liveliness of the place. The beauty of the place. Now, I'm sure in your sin, you would not want to go in. It would be impossible and too much for you anyway, and you could not. But now in Christ, you know you can. And even though you are a sinner, you know Christ has saved you, has died on the cross for your sin, and you are washed and in his righteousness. And remarkably, you are suited for heaven. And you shall enter into heaven open. You shall go in
and be with God. My dear friend, be with God, life forevermore, and the life of God. And that will be your home, your abode. God is the end of the journey. To know God, you must know Christ. Do you want to know God, my friend? Then you must know Christ. And you must have your sins washed away. You must have his righteousness. But then if you do believe in Christ, then the truth for you is this, and it is a very great difference. Not heaven closed, not on no count whatsoever, but rather come this way. Oh, what grace, what mercy for sinners. But this is the gospel of God in Jesus Christ. The Lord has opened a way into heaven. The way is Christ. My dear friend, come to him. Come to Christ. Trust in him, the mighty Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one who makes you fit for heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall know God. Oh, what unspeakable joy to know God and to be in his presence. Life forevermore, life with God. It is the book of life. I trust indeed you shall hear this message, you shall understand these two messages of the Bible, heaven closed, heaven open. May be heaven open for you through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, our Father and our God, we pray the doors of heaven might open now for those who come to Christ this morning. We pray, O Lord, that they might hear the voice, come this way. And, O Lord, how humbled we shall be, yet how glad to be sinners saved by grace, sinners saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank thee for heaven open. And we pray, O Lord, that many might go through the door of Christ, might enter the ladder to heaven, who is Jesus Christ. Amen.